I think it's verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Are y'all seeing that right there? 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36. And the King James is pretty ruthless right here. It says, thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed is sown his own body. And I know this is kind of tough sledding right here, but we're trying to go somewhere. Ultimately, when I started this chapter, I was wanting to give you something, a tool in your tool belt, more or less, more than anything else, about the resurrection of Christ. About promises, you know, because sometimes if you're not careful as a believer in Jesus Christ, we can run on our emotions and our feelings, and when times get hard, we forget the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. We can forget that there are absolute truths that are written in the Word of God, and these are some of those truths. And without the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, say, we don't see, we die prior to the Lord Jesus coming back. Most of us in here, I have the great hope that I'm going to live long enough to see him bust that eastern sky, right? And I know everybody in here. But if we do not, we will all be sown into the ground. One way or another, we're going to return from where we came from. We're going to be like a seed. We're going to be sown. What I like about the Bible, it just says, we go in one way, we come out another. Amen? When you sow a seed, I'm not a farmer, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I have watched seed go in the ground, and I have ate from those seeds later on. I've ate corn, I've ate cucumbers, I've ate okra. It didn't go in that way. It didn't look that way. It didn't seem that way. But there was a better product. You might want to think about this. There was a better product after it was resurrected, after it came back to life. Amen? What Jesus is saying, take a very simple, what Paul's saying here through the Holy Spirit, a very, very simple concept, we're going to be better. Amen? And what we're going to be better. Some people would ask, what are we going to look like? What are we going to be like? How is this possible? What do you think? And I tell them all the time, I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know one thing, if the precept's there, it's going to be better. Amen? It's going to be better than what I thought. Amen? With no more pain, no more heartache, no more death, no more tears. There's a lot of stuff there that we can hold on to. Amen. We're trying to go somewhere. I found this really new thing that's in my heart, and I learned it. Man, I was like, man, look at that. So we're trying to get over to verse 50, and kind of started off right there, verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him to every seed his own body. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same. All the flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. That's a very simple concept, right? We look at, we are not the same. We don't have scales. We don't have feathers. We don't have fur, right? All right, so that's a very concept. You look at it, all right, it's going to be different. Every flesh is different. So verse 40 jumps over into the spiritual. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. There is no death. There is no corruption. That's the most amazing thing about our lives. Every day we are reminded we are dying beings. We have cells die off every day. And if you hadn't noticed this yet, there's a couple people in here who don't really know this. So I'm going to lay it on to you. There's some bad news. The older you get, the more you feel like you're dying. Amen. I don't think this takes place. I don't know for everybody else in the room, but I didn't notice it until about somewhere in my mid-30s. I'm like, I'm good. But more and more I am reminded. Amen. I am reminded. So what I see this right here, and I love the fact that all this different, when I start thinking about the celestial, all the different things, if you do any kind of Bible study, wait till we get, you want to be floored. I think when we get to heaven, we are going to be absolutely floored just at the creatures of heaven. Amen? Just at the creatures alone. Amen? And when I say creatures, I mean angelic creatures. I'm thinking about everything God has ever designed. I mean, if you take one look at a platypus, right, you think God's got just had a bunch of spare parts left over and put that together. But anyway, sorry, different message. So you think when you get to heaven, you think about Ezekiel. You think about the angels. One, an eagle face, a lion face, an oxen face, and a man's face, all on one being. You don't think we'll be sitting there going, you know what I mean? Especially, I mean, some people, have you imagined that some people that just put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ never came out of certain areas of their life, never seen anything outside their realm of understanding, maybe small neighborhoods, maybe small villages. People came and preached Jesus to them, barely knew what, anything was, but then also walked into the portals of glory to see all this. Man, it'd be amazing. Even for somebody that's seen everything, still God is more awesome. But I just think about all the different places in the Bible. I remember where you got Abraham, so when they come and the angel was talking with them, and all of a sudden they cooked him up a meal, and instead of the angel eating the meal, he just goes up in the fire and the smoke. What's that all about? Hey, man, do y'all ever read? I read the scriptures like that. I'm like, I mean, how long would y'all been sitting there looking at the fire going, now that's not typical. Right? But it's in the Bible. I mean, the angel's talking to you and having a conversation with you, and you're like, hey, we made you a good meal. There it is. And instead of, you know, whew, wow, that's pretty cool. I can't wait till we get to heaven to see these concepts, to bring everything to the understanding. But that's some of the things that are going on there, and some of the things that I see in this body. Let's go. So is verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Man, that's good. That's a good verse. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Man, that's going to be an exciting thing. I don't know what it's going to look like or feel like, but I know it's going to be better. Amen? And I love that sown in weakness. We are going to be, as I said earlier, from the moment we are born, we are continuously going to die. Man, the moment that we bust out of that grave and our spirit is reunited with that new resurrected body, we will never, ever die. Man. I can't wait. I often think about it as when Jesus walked with the disciples after the resurrection. They didn't recognize him. They're like, man, that's Jesus. Amen? Now, I know one part of it had to be the overwhelming fact that they seen him beaten beyond all recognition and kind of put him in the grave. But there has to be a difference, too, of who he looks like. But also, as he walks through walls and leaves one place and goes to another place, amen, there has to be a changing there. And then you got to go also, man, I love when you take them up. Peter wrote about this in his letters, his epistles. He did not write in his epistles about the resurrected Christ. When he talked about the Christ that he sees in heaven, he writes about the Christ he's seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now think about that for a moment. Peter was there for the resurrected Christ. He was there for the 40 days. He was there when he witnessed him ascend up into heaven. But when he had the chance at the end of his life to pen about what Jesus was in heaven, he talked about the day that he revealed himself on the Mount of Transfiguration before he seen all that with his own eyes. You know what he's seen? He's seen God in heaven the way he is on earth, and that very first time burnt into his conscience. And he said, that is the greatest thing I've ever seen. That is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I always wondered about that. And like reading those epistles, like, why does he go back to there? That was before he received the Holy Spirit. That's before, you know, before the death, burial, and resurrection. But you know what? Your first impression, the first time you see it, you can't unsee it. Amen? He took that inner circle up there, and they walked up there, and next you know, there's Elijah, there's Moses, and all of a sudden, there's Jesus transformed into who he's always been. Man, and he just, man, they were awesome. I love what you read in that. He goes, it's good for us to be here. Amen. Could you imagine what a Moses and Elijah are like, this new guy over here, you know? They're just overwhelmed. He said, what we need to do is we need to build 3 tabernacles. Just like they must be partial Baptists, right? Well, never mind. I'll get that later. We need to build you 3 churches right here. Why couldn't we build just one? No, never mind. God, it's a bad joke. Sorry about that. Right in the middle of the church. Howbeit was not... Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. When you read that, I always realize you're talking about Adam, and you're talking about Jesus, okay? You're talking about Adam, talking about Jesus. Talking about, and this is a theme with Paul, this is theme with Paul's writing, but it's also there for us as New Testament believers to see and give as much give more credence to what Jesus did at Calvary and through the resurrection than what Adam did in the garden when he sinned. Now listen, it's hard to do. I mean, I've been doing this since 2004, and in 2005, been teaching and preaching the gospel, and every person I run into hundreds and hundreds of people, and they'll just be, so you believe if you get saved, that's it? Let me give it to you the way they always give it to you. You believe once saved, always saved? I believe once you've been born again, you are born again. Amen? That's what I believe. And you say, well, man, how can you do that? No, it's as simple as, do you believe through one man's sin, everybody was condemned? Yes. I do absolutely believe that. Okay. Do you believe through one man's obedience at a tree, every man that puts his trust and faith in him can have that same understanding of being saved. Amen? That's all this is saying. But I want you to understand this. When they're talking about those two things, I give more power to Jesus than I do Adam. Amen? Because I know the power that Adam had. Amen? I lived that life. Amen? I'm still dealing with him. Amen? We're still dealing with our Adam. But there's somebody else on board, amen? There's Jesus. The Holy Spirit's on board because of what he did at Calvary. One day I put my trust and faith in him, and guess what? I am born again. Born again. No, I'll teach that some other time. Good message right there. Verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward which is spiritual. It's just giving you the natural progression. The first one that came was the physical man. The next one that came was the spiritual. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Whew, glory, that's good, right? The first one was made from the earth. We are going to return to the earth. That second man is a spirit. We'll return as the spirit. There's a big doctrinal truth right here. It comes out of John chapter 4. Those that are born of the Spirit, right, worship God in truth and spirit, right? God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's how it goes. God is a spirit. That's a big truth right there. When Jesus came down here as a spiritual man and died on that cross that we might receive his spirit, he says it like this to the apostles. He said, it's expedient for me to go away that you might receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has two big gears in it. They're like this. One is a witness. The other one is a comfort. Remember what I just said a minute ago about being born again? It's a comfort to know that God resides in you, that you have eternal life. Your Holy Spirit is always trying to get you home, amen? But it's always witnessing of home that you don't know much about, amen? All right, so God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's why your spirit, before it's born again and after it's born again, has to stay somewhere for eternity. Let me give it this way. If God is a spirit, a spirit cannot die. Does that make sense to you? Because when God, if he is a, he's a spirit, if a spirit could die, God would die. So that's why it gives you this principle that your spirit man, even if he's unborn again, has to stay somewhere for eternity. That way, the reason you just can't die and go in the ground and it's over. You have to go somewhere. And because of our sin nature, we must go to a place of eternal separation from Jesus, which is a place called hell. Okay? But once we are born again, that spirit is born again. And that way where God can say, remember what he said in the scriptures? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That spirit that was never born again, right? When he says, enter in my good and faithful servant, he's talking to the spirit that was born again. He understands who you are and he knows who you are, right? He knows exactly who you are. There's a great principle there as well. It doesn't matter if you know God. The important part is God knowing you, amen? If he knows you, then you know each other. That's the wonderful thing right there. It's like knowing the president. Oh, I know the president. Everybody knows who the president is. Praise God. You can't walk up to the White House and say, hey, can I come in? Right? But if one day I'm going to walk into a place that's better than the White House, and so are you as a believer. Enter in my good and faithful servant. We all understand he's talking about Jesus, but he's also talking to the quickened spirit, the who you are. Amen? He's talking to that quickened spirit because you were born again through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's a great, man, there's some deep, deep stuff right there. I know we don't talk about that much, but there's some deep stuff right there because a lot of people think, well, how could a good, wonderful, loving God send you to hell? He's not. He's literally making the only way possible for you to get out. And he did it with his only begotten son. He did it through himself. He gave you a way that nobody else would give you a way to. That's an amazing thing. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As if the heavenly, such are also they are heavenly. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Boy, that's good, right? Because we are born of that flesh, we birth that image. And because we are born again, we're going to take on that heavenly image. Boy, that's a good one. I wrote this note down right atop my Bible, man. I got this probably about 48 hours ago. I was sitting there, and I don't know where I felt it or got it, or I was just pinning stuff down. I'm constantly, if you don't know me, I'm a weird character. Some of y'all took the opportunity right there. I'm still a notepad and pen guy. I very rarely use technology to make notes. If I'm out somewhere, walking somewhere, doing something, and I hear something or experience, and I don't have a pen to write it on, I will make a note in my phone. I probably need to do that more by the way technology's going. But I go through probably about 25 notepads a year. And I'm not bragging. I've just got some severe ADHD sometimes. And if I don't write it down, I won't know it. So I write it down a lot, over and over and over and over and over. And I write it down. I write it on napkins. I write it on paper. But I go through a lot of notepads. But I was writing this thing down. And then when I read this scripture again tonight sitting there, it hit me. I was like, man, ain't God cool? He gave me something earlier this week. And I'm sitting here reading it right here before I go up here. And he drops it on me again. Watch this right here. Y'all might want, this is a good one. You can act like it's yours. I don't care. This is really good stuff. Let me read this verse 49 for you again. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I wrote this down. I am kin to the problem, and I'm also kin to the answer. Whoa, ain't that good. I was sitting there, man. God dropped that in there and it real nice. I am kin to the problem. I am related to Adam. Amen? I know the problem. That way when I'm ministering to somebody or I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, I'm not sharing something with somebody that I don't know. Look, who are you to tell me? Just like you. Amen. My wife said one of the most brilliant things over the last few years. We were somewhere and somebody was saying, how do you witness to this group? And how do you witness to that group? Well, how do you witness to the homosexual guy? How do you witness to the drug addict? How do you witness? And she just blurted it out. I'm sitting there computing. And I'm saying, well, you can do this when you come around this way and you come around. You got to meet these guys where they're at. And all of a sudden she just goes, the gospel works for everybody. Well, thanks for that. Close up all my stuff, sit around and just ask her. The gospel works for everybody. That's why when you hear somebody was a prosperity preacher or somebody like that, does it really work? Well, if it doesn't work for somebody in a third world country, it doesn't work for somebody in Houston or in Texas or Tennessee or anywhere else. If you can't go to somebody who doesn't have a dime or a nickel and say, Jesus is just as good for you as he is for me. I'm kin to the problem. I can tell you what the problem is. But by the grace of God, I am kin to the answer. Amen? I have a near kinsman redeemer. Amen? I can tell you, this is my philosophy. You might not like it, but this is my philosophy. I give everybody a good one-time run through the problem. Amen? I do. If you called me and said, Kevin, I want to come tell you, I've got marital issues, I've got problems, drug problems, anything else, I will let you come. I said, look, go knock it out, John, and I'll let you run. I'll let you tell me every problem, everybody's issue, who did what, who done know what, and we can go through it. But the very next meeting, you know what I'm going to say? I heard everything you had to say. I got some solutions. I've got some answers for the problem. Amen? You know, if they say, no, wait a minute. I didn't tell you some other of the problems. And they start running the problems on me again, I'm going to stop them. I'm going to say, we're not going to meet and talk about the problems every time. We got to get over the problems and get on to the answers. No. A lot of times we just want to stay in the problem because the answer would change our lives. We would have to change. Our story would have to change. And everything about us would have to change. But that's a wonderful thing about knowing the answer, because you can say, listen, I don't know every aspect of your problem, but I know somebody who does, because I'm kin to him. Amen? Because one day, he sat down beside me in my life, and he made me an offer. I'll take all your sin debt if you'll take all my righteousness. I'll take all the problems if you let me become the answer. Ain't that a wonderful thing? I'm glad I preached and taught this whole message just for that right there. Man, that'll spend anywhere. Amen? That'll just spend anywhere. You can use that on anybody. Praise God. Well, I hear your problem. I've got a problem similar to that, but I know the answer. Verse 50. Here's where we'll stop. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, man, just hear that. You must be born again. You must be saved. And if you are saved, guess what? One day, when they plant you, if you don't make it to the second coming of Christ, one day, praise God, your spirit and your body are going to meet in the air. And you know what? You as who you are recognized as, amen, new glorified body. It'll take some of us a while for some people. Because we'll see some popping up. That person had a limp. That person had glass. That person had maybe was in a wheelchair. This person didn't walk good. Last time we seen them, they had cancer. They died. And man, somebody you've dealt with multiple years, and you thought, well, this is who they were. That's who they are. And you know what? You'll be standing there talking to them, and you'll be like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Last time I seen you. And don't be surprised. Someone might look back at you and go, last time I seen you. And then maybe some of them, if we're lucky like this, they say, well, fancy seeing you here. Amen. When I left Earth, there wasn't much hope for you. Amen. We wasn't thinking you was going to visit us. Oh, but by the grace of God. Amen. Now, but by the grace of God. I love this. And he said, man, this is not, it's not totally fire. It's not exciting. Man, I just like to have, I like to have things that I can pull out when I don't feel it. Amen. When I don't got the Holy Spirit goosebumps, when I'm not weeping and shouting and praising, and when I don't feel like it, I can say, you know what? One of these days, this body's going to be put to rest, but I'm going to be raised incorruptible. When I'm entering into heaven, there's nothing bad going to be happening when that, none of my corruption, none of my sin, none of my weakness, none of my flaws are going to enter into the kingdom of God. None of that's going in. Amen? Boy, ain't that good. I don't know how this hits you, but I like to know some stuff. I don't stay in my emotions too much. I'm a black and white type person. I like to know things. Amen? And I want you to know, man, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what some good promises, man. Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to stop right here. I don't know what age it is. But the devil will get in your ear a lot and say, this is it. This is it. You might die going down the road. You might die like your mama. You might die like your daddy. Man, it'd be just good to go back over and say, well, if I do, I'm going to be alive, more alive than I've ever been. Just in the twinkling of an eye. When I take my last breath, that next breath will be in the presence of God. And I'll never have to listen to you again. Amen? And won't that be a day? Amen? Let's all stand.